Okay, hi Robin. Let's jump right into it. What's going on and how can I help you?
Yeah, so as I said before, like we've been using the e-collar. So I am already an e-collar user. It's been a little bit of a steep learning curve, but I think I'm on the other side of it.
Okay.
But there's two scenarios where I would love some help, some coaching around how to use it. So the
Okay.
first one is I don't have a cat. Really, nobody in my life has a cat except for my parents. So it's infrequent when we see these cats and he just like runs for them and like, I don't know if he's actually aggressive, if he'll do anything, but it's like a game for him. I don't know, but it's this whole situation. I would just love to know how to manage because in the past, when I did use the e-collar, I almost think it added to the stress of the situation, and I feel like he like went to bite the cat.
Okay. Oh, and first, because I think this will be interesting to people, what kind of dog do you have and how old?
Right. So he is a miniature Australian Bernedoodle and he is 18 months old.
Okay. What is his name?
Denver.
Denver. Are you in Colorado?
No, but it's actually, he is named after Denver, Colorado, if that
Oh, okay. Where
helps.
are you located? Not
I'm in
specific.
Ontario in Canada.
Oh, okay, nice. Okay, so prey drive. Okay, so how you're using the e-collar. So you said when you've used it before, it's amped him up more. Let's talk levels, because you're using the mini educator.
No, I actually have the Dogtra.
Okay, so that has over 100 levels, right?
Yes.
Okay, so what level did you find his working level initially?
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, it ranges. It seems like he's very sensitive. He can actually feel it at like a two,
Okay.
but that is not realistic in most scenarios. So it ends up being more, I'd say like in no distractions around a five, but if I'm out and about, it's more like a seven or an eight.
Okay. So when do you remember what level you used to like interrupt that prey drive?
Don't. And he wasn't on a leash or anything too. He was just like right next to this cat, kind of on his own. I don't remember what the level was.
Okay. So one thing that's helpful when working on prey drive stuff, because like for me, I don't have a cat either. And whenever I've worked with dogs who they live with a cat and they love to chase the cat, my number one thing that I want to focus on is recall and making it non-negotiable. So I know originally you told me you have used it for recall, but not like corrections.
Yes.
Okay. Do you know what the highest you've gone to is for recall level-wise?
Probably about a 10.
Okay. So low.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay. And you said that he's sensitive. So are you nervous at all about dialing up on the e-collar?
I am. There's been times where, like, if it has been higher, he kind of just like, you can see he's like, he's twitching and then he'll stop and kind of like, he's irritated with it. So,
Yes.
yes.
Okay. And this is no judgment at all. This just really helps me give you the best advice. When you've been using it for recall, do you have a leash on, or are you more than anything just like kind of seeing how he responds to it without a leash on?
No, we've been using a like 10, 15 foot leash for the most part. Now he's been better about recall. I've been using a shorter one just to have in case, but been really good.
Okay. So one thing I would recommend with the prey drive stuff, did you say it's at your parents' house? Okay, so when you go over, one thing that's helpful, first, have you used the e-collar at all for heel? Okay, does he do well on the walk when there's like some distractions, but no cats?
The squirrels are still, we're still working on that.
Oh, good. Okay, so let me say that is a really awesome thing to work on recall around, because again, with the cat, what would be really helpful is being able to one, say no to
Yeah.
chasing the cat. It could go a couple of different ways. You can correct for going towards the cat. So it
Yeah.
could be a tap on the e-collar and we can talk through levels.
Okay.
Or it could be recall. So Denver come, and then if he doesn't, you would correct for not coming to you.
Yeah.
So that's for recall.
Yeah.
The other thing would be that I think it helps give an owner a bit more control and helps you feel more in control, especially when you're going to dial up a little bit on the e-collar, is having the shorter leash and treating the cat as if you're out on a walk. So holding him accountable for heel and then correcting for popping out of the heel position. That's what I would recommend. You can also do like what I was doing yesterday. I talked about in my stories with Izzy was where I let her make a mistake and then corrected her. For her, it was the reactivity. So hers was barking and lunging. For you, it could be your dog trying to go towards the cat. So especially with a shorter leash, I want you to think about distance is helpful sometimes, but when you really want to create clarity around something like a cat, I would have a little, get a little bit closer mm-hmm. and then just create boundaries on yeah. like as if you're walking outside and a cat is on the sidewalk.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Do you have questions about levels, like what you should be using or starting with?
Yeah. I mean, it is a little unclear because it is a lot of times just like at a point where it's meaningful. So I guess what is that level?
Yeah. I usually like to tell owners to start about 10 to 15 above the working level.
Okay.
So, and it's even if the working level ranges, because dogs have longer fur. So one day it's 4, the next day it's 8. Yeah. So more than anything, just like trying maybe 10 above whatever level you think, let's start with the lower level of your working levels with him. Start there. The one thing I will also say about when you're correcting for things, like you said, when he itches at his neck, I do find this with doodle mixes, dogs that have a bit more sensitive skin, but also when you dial up, to me, it's a really good opportunity to either like using movement in that moment. So like if a dog like stops and starts to itch, yeah. it doesn't mean it's bad that they're itching, but I would use movement. Let's go
yeah.
move on that situation. Give some leash guidance.
Yeah.
But also the scratching, or like when you see him react like this, that's actually usually a sign to me that you're underwhelming him, especially for things like recall and making that non-negotiable. Or is there any reactivity that you're struggling with?
Not really anymore. I think I've worked through most of it, thankfully.
Oh, good. So more just like chasing things.
Yeah, just yeah, okay. Just being engaged with me in moments when there's distractions and chasing.
Okay. So another thing perspective wise that might be helpful, because I know it's challenging dialing up. This is why I try to talk about it as much as possible, because it's so normal and nothing wrong with it. Everyone I talk to is scared of dialing up. So, but with recall, I want you to start thinking about it. It doesn't have to be life or death. This is like kind of dramatic, but when I am correcting for blowing off recall, to me, I come back to that. This could be a life or death situation. He could run across the street to chase a squirrel or something like that. So when you're dialing up for recall, just remember that, because it's hard when it's just, you're just starting to dial up and you don't really think of it in terms of that kind of a situation.
For sure. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Okay.
How to do it. And then I guess the other thing, like, it's a similar situation, but a little bit different. He has some dog aggression and it seems to be unneutered males, which apparently is like a thing, you know?
Okay.
But it's a problem because it's my sister-in-law's puppy.
Oh.
So there, and it seems to also be in around us. So like, there's like a possessiveness to his responses, I think, in those moments. So got Thanksgiving coming up. I'm trying to figure out what's the best way to manage that situation when we know they're both going to be in the same space and around the people that he feels most possessive of.
How old is the other dog?
Like 7 months.
Okay. Have you taken them for a walk together yet?
Yeah.
How did that go?
Walking is fine. The playing, he's like, it's very rough and not ideal.
Okay. So I love that you said manage the situation. Yeah. So I would say, because a lot of times with dogs, I'm not one to just try like an avoid situations. Yeah. You know, I would love to tell you the step-by-steps on how to make them besties and be able to have them both out and not even, you're not asking for this, but be able to not even watch them and trust that they are going to be fine together. It doesn't sound like that. So to help bring out the best in Denver, I would say bring a kennel. Are you using the kennel at all?
We do.
Okay,
bring
awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and the other thing about play styles, some dogs just don't play well together. So if there's two dogs who play really rough, it'd be different if Denver was more submissive and the other dog was more rough. That would be a good balance. But if you find, how does it look when they're playing together?
It's just very rough, and Denver's small, so he just gets like pummeled and it doesn't.
Oh, really, yes. Okay. And the other dog is just overbearing.
Yeah, but only with him. He is actually quite gentle with other dogs. I just think it's the energy that Denver's bringing into the situation. He's like big tough guy, and he like kind of bullies this puppy. And then when they're in a play situation, it's almost like it's when he's setting him straight.
Is he like barking at the other dog? That kind of thing?
Yeah, barking, lunging, like inside the house.
Oh.
Like trying to like bite him. And yeah, it seems to be
pretty. Okay. Is the other dog kennel trained, do you know?
Yep.
Okay. So to me, like whenever I get training dogs in, a really awesome way to quote unquote socialize dogs together and get them used to being around each other while also keeping it as chill as possible, because that is ideal. Playing is great, but it's to have them kenneled next to each other.
Okay.
And if there's any like barking in the kennel, you can always say no to that with the e-collar. But I find with dogs that I work with, like sometimes I'll take them in the van. I've done this a couple of times where they're in kennels next to each other. One originally was kind of sounded like Denver, where it was just very showy, like barking and lunging in the kennel, that kind of a thing. And I found that just having them exist in the kennel for about a week next to each other without ever like introducing them, maybe separately on the walk. My husband would walk one, I'd walk the other, because walking them is great. So I love that you have done that, and I would still continue to do it. I would actually recommend for your next gathering, is it your sister?
Sister-in-law, yeah.
Okay, sister-in-law. I would ask your sister-in-law if you two could go for a walk before you all sit down to a meal, bring them back. Oh, the pool guy scared me. Bring them back and put them in their kennels, kind of like place duration. And the other dog is 7 months, so young. So if she needs to have, if she's not doing kind of the stuff you are and she needs to have her dog out, that's fine. But I would say to bring out the best in Denver and really actually help him feel more confident around your sister-in-law's dog, have him in the kennel.
Okay.
That's what I would recommend, because it just sounds like a young pushy dog and your dog is like being also kind of pushy. So it's not the best match right now. Doesn't mean it never will be.
Yeah.
But that's what I would recommend.
Okay. And then maybe like let them be out one at a time. Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Cause you can like with, Izzy's a good example. Another couple of dogs I've worked with, Ivy and Maggie, and Ivy was known to play really rough with Maggie. So Maggie would start growling and barking and protect herself because she didn't like it. And that's how dogs, you know, communicate with each other, is vocally or growling or biting. And what I ended up doing was using the e-collar with Ivy to kind of, I like to pair it with an easy command, or even if you don't say anything, it's just kind of a way to be like, hey, relax. But if both dogs, that's because Ivy and Maggie are such different personalities. So I'm really just trying to control one dog, right, and like stop her from zooming around Maggie and like knocking her out, which that would be like if Denver was really amped up, but the other dog was a bit more like, hey, like,
yeah,
not as wild as, yeah, Denver sounds, if that's a good depiction. But you can use the e-collar to kind of interrupt that super pushy play. But if both dogs, if you do that with Denver and then the other dog keeps coming at Denver, yeah, it doesn't really work. It just, I think, would be more frustrating than anything.
Yeah. Yeah. And would that be an instance where you would use it the 10 to 15 above working level? Like that's kind of the correction level?
Yeah. So Izzy's a great example of the dog I'm working with now, who is not sensitive to the e-collar. So keep that in mind. Her working level is about a 6-7. And for the interrupting, like the rough play, around 20.
Okay.
Yeah, like about 10, 15. So for you, since your dog is a bit more sensitive, it might be more like 10.
Yeah.
A really great way for you to tell what level, because for me, I always like to give owners a starting point with the 10 to 15. For me, it's more based off of different situations. Like if I have to correct for barking in the kennel, what was that level? And right, it comes from tapping, dialing up a bit, tapping again, or for recall stuff, because your levels are going to be bumped up a bit, because that's a much more distracting thing. Were you watching, and I saved it to my highlight of Izzy, when I was working with her, when I was using tone, Dogtra doesn't have tone, right?
I'm not sure what that is. So I'm going to say no.
It's the sound.
Like the sound box when you pair it with the sound box, or no?
No, it's, so on the e-collar, there's a vibrate button, but you can switch it to a sound.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I don't think Dogtra has that from what I understand. But in that highlight, and there's like five different stories where you can see, and I show you what level I'm using, where I dial up each time. And for her, I got up pretty high. I started at 14 and I think I got up into the 60s because her play dry is so high. So she knows that she should come to me. And it sounds like you've been working on that with Denver, but now you just have to make it non-negotiable. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. That's really helpful. Thank you.
Yay. Anything else?
I think that's it. Those are the most pressing ones that I really want to figure out a plan. And in the moment, it's very stressful. Like, it's easy to get overwhelmed and kind of start to melt down. So I'm trying to prepare myself for those situations.
Oh yeah. Well, I think going into it, one, with the mentality that it's going to be messy, probably. It's kind of like yesterday when I was with Izzy on a walk and a beagle from behind a fence, it like startled me too, came out of nowhere. She started reacting and barking, which I know that can fluster an owner for sure. And it flustered me a little bit, but I also know stuff like that is a really great training opportunity. So like for you with Denver, if you go and let's say you start at 10 above the working level or whatever level you want to use, and you say, come, how I want you to use it. You can use it a couple different ways if you're just using STEM. I'm so used to using tone, the sound plus STEM. But for you, you can either use it where you pair the STEM at that level with recall. So it would look like Denver, come, tap. Mm-hmm. So I like to say the command right before I tap on the e-caller. Have you done that?
Yeah, I've followed where you say it at the same time and then also say it first and then tap, tap, tap.
Perfect. Okay, so now when you're starting to use just a tap for a more, when you start to hold him accountable for it, so you can say it right before, also in a moment where he's more distracted, he can't really hear you probably, or will choose not to, selective hearing, you know? So it doesn't really matter so much what you say. Saying come is helpful, but you can use it that way, or if you say come without the e-caller and he doesn't, no, and then tap on the e-caller, each time you do that, I want you to dial up a little bit.
Right.
That is the way to lead to less nagging. And then also if there's a moment where like he stops and itches, which can make an owner feel bad if you haven't seen that before, just give leash guidance, reset. Anytime you're feeling flustered or overwhelmed, or if he like gets close to the cat or whatever, just reset, walk away, and then you're going to be more prepared to follow through with the e-caller and get your timing right. So either go after heel and pretend that you're on a walk and the cat is just another distraction. That's helpful. Or you can also use with the longer line. But I do find, and tell me if I'm wrong, I find sometimes with a longer line leash, I feel like that can be more overwhelming for an owner because you are relying more on the e-caller than anything. What do you think? Or do you like using the long line for stuff like that?
I mean, it's nice more for security. I'm still like trying to earn, like trust him that he's not, because he's done some things as over the time we've had him where he's taken off. So it's more security for myself.
Yeah.
To can get him if I need to, or I feel like I can. So it's less about, I have used it to lead him back and when he doesn't listen, but for me, it's more of just that security blanket, but it is a lot to manage, I suppose, when we've got the e-collar plus the leash at the same time.
Yeah. Cause I know, I was talking with a trainer friend of mine, like 5 months ago, and she said that she rarely ever uses a short leash. And like she only uses long lines, which for a trainer, that's really great because most of us are very fluent with the e-collar. But I do find with owners, having a shorter leash when you're initially working through this stuff and maybe having it a little loose, it doesn't mean that you're like holding it really tight or anything. Mm-hmm. That also might help you feel just a little bit more in control when you're doing this. So you might want to like just back up a couple of steps with that. I love long line work and I love that you were using that. Yeah. That might be helpful when you're first doing it and mm-hmm. then long line work. But I love how you said you're trying to build your confidence with him. He's shown you what he will do. So now those are the experiences that, you know, remember.
Yeah. And we're starting to get that bond and it's really like, it's so lovely considering.
Oh, I love that.
It was a nightmare when we first got him. The doodle mixes are all kinds of crazy. And it was my first puppy. So it was a lot of learning all at once, but.
Were your first puppy?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Doodle mixes. They are funny to me. I feel like I say this all the time. I feel like they have people eyes. Is that weird?
No, he's very, very intelligent. And yeah, that was the learning curve, is how to use and harness that intelligence, because he needs that stimulation. And so, but it's been really nice.
Oh, good. Well, and something that I thought that I was talking with an owner a few weeks ago that might be helpful for you, I don't know, but it was all about how you're viewing the pushy moments with your dog. And you've said nothing that makes me think that you look at Denver like your baby, but he's your first dog. Like, we have four dogs, and my dog Charlie, I feel like, is my baby. I don't care what anyone says. But it was an owner who had an Australian Shepherd dog, and he was guarding in the bedroom. Her fiance would come in and he would start barking, barking, barking. Really sweet otherwise with the fiance. And she was looking at it like from a perspective of feeling bad for her dog, like, oh, well, why is he feeling this way? Instead of from a trainer perspective, I see it as pushy behavior. So sometimes when you're looking at stuff with your dog and you have to start holding them accountable for things, switching the perspective from, and you're not doing this, but, oh, my sweet baby, I wonder how he's feeling, like why he wants to go chase the cat. Instead, no, this is pushy behavior. We've worked through recall. He knows what recall means. Now it's holding him accountable for it. I find that that kind of switch in perspective is helpful when you start correcting for things.
For sure. For sure. It's so easy to feel bad for them. And yes, the push, like even just pushy, like play with me. Those pleading eyes of it's time to play with the ball. I sometimes will give into that, but I recognize it. For what it is.
How long have you had him?
We got him when he was 12 weeks.
Oh, wow. So a long time.
Yeah.
How did you get into, did you like know about e-collar training before?
Oh, my husband's one of his close friends. Like, we brought him Denver over to his house and he had a dog, and that was the first time I'd seen this dog on dog aggression. And it was a nightmare in their small little house. And I had no idea what I was doing. I like melted down, and he's really into dog training. So we spent the whole weekend talking about it. And like, he told me about the e-collar. I bought it right on the spot. And it's been a steep learning curve with it though. Especially if you're nervous to, like, you know, harm the animal and you don't want to do it incorrectly. So there's been times when I've stopped using it and got back to using it. And just now I'm starting, I fully understand it and the value, and we're really, he understands it now. So it's a different.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Well, and cause I'm a trainer, but I also started out as an owner. And I remember one time, just as a reference, if you use a level and maybe Denver Yips or something like that, I was once working with a Dalmatian, and this was my first year of training full time. And it was my second day with her. We went out on the walk. I was using a level 6 out of 100 to like layer over the heel command. I tapped at 6, and it was literally 6. I know I looked at it. There was no boost or anything. She started screaming, fell to the ground, and it was in my neighborhood. And I was like, oh my gosh, people are going to think I'm so bad at a level 6 out of 100. And so I did the same thing. Like you said, you've stopped using it sometimes and then come back to it. So after that, I was like, no, all of the things that I have heard before from people who are anti e-collar. And I was like, oh no, I'm ruining this dog. So I took the rest of the day off with her. I made it quote unquote fun day. I treated her, I feel like, a child. We went to a playground and like played on the playground. And then the next day I started back from the beginning, and her working level ended up being a 7, and she could care less about the 6. So the reason I'm sharing this with you is because what I have found with dogs, it can be scary when that happens. I have found that dogs are, not that they're trying to be manipulative, but sometimes they're a bit dramatic. Especially the doodles. And it's just from my experience. I love them. I think they're adorable. But just to keep that in mind, and taking a step back is always a good idea if you feel you need to do that, and then starting fresh the next day. But that was such an eye-opening experience for me, because I was like, oh my God, I feel like this dog kind of played me yesterday. Like, I don't want to walk in heel. I'm going to throw a temper tantrum. And then the next day was totally fine. So just something to keep in mind if, you know, when you start using higher levels and you're a bit nervous. Hopefully that is helpful.
Oh, that's super helpful. Thank you so much, Bethany.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else?
No, just one personal note. I just wanted to say that I absolutely love your marketing. You're doing a fantastic job online. And I'm curious to know if you've had like any coaching. Are you in, like, where does that come from? I mean, I'm a marketer, so that's why I'm
here. Oh, yeah. Okay. So I'm going to start messaging you things, because I love marketing.
Yeah, me too.
Thank you. That is so nice. So I think I just always try to create things based off of what I would want to see. And I get a lot of my inspiration from outside of the dog training world. So I love following copywriters and seeing how other people market their things and products. And I love, Canva. Love Canva. That's like, I feel like my best friend. That's silly, but I love it so much. I could stay on it for hours. So to me, it's just kind of like creating creations each day that just happen to help encourage owners and sometimes trainers. But no, I don't, I've never taken any classes. I'll probably message you about this. Some trainers love going to like shadow programs and things like that. My dream would be to go to like a marketing seminar for a couple of days, just talk copy, colors, if that's a thing, I don't know, but let me know.
Yeah, no, I think it's just like, you have so many products and you're doing such a great job of creating content, and clearly you're getting people into your funnel. Like, it's just, yeah, it's admirable. And I love what you're doing. And I just wanted to say that, like,
oh, thank you.
You well done.
Thank you from a mark. Oh, okay. That makes me so happy. You just made my day, Robin. And you mentioned a funnel. No one knows what funnels are. I was always overwhelmed by those. So thank you. That means a lot to me.
So, okay. Well, yeah, let's stay in touch. And I'm happy to promote you in any way. If you want me to leave a review or whatever I can do to help.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Well, I'm just going to end the recording real quick, but thank you. Thank you for doing this. Okay. Bye, everybody.